Lord Bew, Lord Ahmed, Ambassador Rice, Excellencies, maybe there are others, but I saw my very dear colleagues, Mikhail and Yuri, ambassadors from the Czech Republic and from Cyprus, lords, ladies, and gentlemen. It is always such a total pleasure to be at gatherings of the Anglo-Israel Association. There are a number of organizations that talk about deepening ties between the UK and Israel, but there are fewer that actually do it, and the AIA really shines amongst them. Whether it is dialogue on issues like security or intelligence, or discussions of culture and literature, or the ambassadors' roundtables that I'm privileged to chair with my counterpart Matthew Gould in Israel, this year on food security, we're not just talking about cooperation, but we are modeling it and making it happen. And that kind of cooperation and support, it's always important, but it's particularly critical today, particularly when so much hangs in the balance. You know, those balanced scales of justice are a very evocative image in Jewish thinking, not just because Jews are so much involved in the law. And I love my father's story of the entirely Jewish jury that was sitting in judgment on a mafia boss who, in the course of the trial, it turned out had murdered many dozens of his opponents. And at the end of the trial, the jury retired. Then they came back in to deliver their judgment. The judge turns to the foreman of the Jewish jury. He says, "Have you reached a verdict on which you are all agreed?" He says, "We have, my lad. How have you decided?" "We've decided we don't want to get involved." No, but I think the idea of the scales being balanced is very profoundly Jewish. The rabbinic teaching is that everyone is supposed to regard themselves internally as being evenly balanced, so their very next action, their next decision will tip the scales for better or for worse, one way or the other. And it's a very powerful image, and I think in many ways it's an apt image for the way many Israelis are feeling today when they try to make sense of the region and they try and think about prospects for peace. You know, if you look at the surveys of Israeli public opinion, you see something very strange. You see Israelis today are more prepared than at any time in their history to make those tough concessions, those tough choices for peace. And yet at the same time, that same majority of Israelis are more skeptical about the chances of that peace actually being realized. I saw it myself. As a peace negotiator, I remember leaving the house early one morning with my suitcase, and one of my younger children saw me leaving. He said, "Daddy, where are you going?" I said, "To the peace negotiations." I said, "To the negotiations." He said, "What are you trying to achieve?" I said, "Peace." He said, "No, seriously." So we clearly have a credibility problem. At the same time, we look around at the region, and on the one hand, we see that there is a remarkable developing strategic alignment between Israel and many of its neighbors. During this past summer, we heard not a word of support for Hamas from any of the surrounding Arab countries. But at the same time, we look what is on our borders, and we see on the far side of Jordan is ISIL. And on every other one of our borders is not so much a functioning state as a militant or terrorist organization. So in times like this, when everything is so poised, when everything is so balanced, there really is tremendous importance to the role and the message that is received from the international community. There are messages that support us, and there are messages that are damaging. So I think, for example, votes and decisions like the premature recognition of a Palestinian state are very damaging indeed, not just because they send a message to the Palestinians that you don't need to make choices for peace, but that they send a message to Israelis after 51 days in which 75% of Israel's population had to live within reach of bomb shelters, that we will recognize as a state the authority that claims to be responsible for the area from which all of these missiles are fired. We will not require them to tackle Hamas. We will not require them to tackle the daily incitement, which in recent weeks we've seen has led to a horrible spate of brutal terrorist attacks in Jerusalem. And conversely, there are messages that strengthen the desire and the willingness of Israelis to move forward. I want to read you a statement made by a political leader. One of the reasons why I'm such a strong supporter of Israel is because it is a country that has given rights and democracy to its people. When you look across the region and you look at those indexes of freedom, you see that Israel is one of the few countries that actually ticks the boxes in terms of freedom, and it's important that it continues to do so. That statement was made about 3 hours ago by Prime Minister David Cameron in Prime Minister's Question Time. I think it's a remarkable statement. It's a statement in particular of the core values that lie at the root of the relationship with the UK and Britain, and that we express when we are both at our best. And I think what highlights that relationship, and I think the AIA typifies that, is that ultimately it's that we stand for these values. You know, sometimes I'll go to a university or another meeting and there will be a strange rabble outside demonstrating, and it's a very bizarre coalition of anarchists and fanatical Islamists. And it's very easy to break that coalition apart, because all you have to say is, I know what it is that you're standing against, but tell me what it is that you stand for. And they're simply incapable of verbalizing, articulating a positive vision. And I think that truly is the strength of our relationship. Later this evening, we're going to hear two fascinating, fascinating speakers. I'm very much looking forward to hearing Ambassador Rees, but I hope you'll forgive me if I say a word about Ari Shavit, not only because Israeli intelligence tells me that it's his birthday today, so many happy returns to you. But also because just a few months ago, I had the opportunity of spending an extraordinary evening interviewing Ari in my residence about his book, My Promised Land. And he starts and ends his book talking about his great-grandfather, a very prominent British Zionist, Herbert Bentwich, who was sent by Theodore Herzl on a mission to visit Palestine, future Israel, long before Herzl had visited. And it was a fascinating evening and a very poignant evening, because we had the discussion, as I say, in my house, and that is the house, the Israeli ambassador's house, is the house in which more than 100 years ago Herbert Bentwich lived and raised his 11 children before he moved to Israel. So it was extraordinarily moving. But afterwards I was so fascinated that I wasn't satisfied in just reading Ari's fascinating book, but I got hold of a biography of Herbert Bentwich that was written by his son, and tried to find something that he'd written in the course of his trip to Israel. And shortly after he came back, he wrote the following. He said, "What we desire is a field to perform our destiny as a nation, a vantage point to show how many institutions of importance we can give the world from our land, as we gave in olden time the sacred Decalogue, an unfettered opportunity to assist as a compact and living force. These are our aspirations for our land and our people." It's a wonderful aspiration, it's a wonderful vision, but there's only one thing to my mind that's even more remarkable than that, and that is that if Herbert Bentwich or any of the other 20, 21 people that went with him on that mission to Israel were to visit Israel today, even on the toughest day in the Israeli calendar, they would see a reality that exceeds their wildest dreams. That is a truly remarkable miracle. We have the privilege of living it, of celebrating it, and the AIA does a tremendous amount to make sure that it will continue to flourish into the future. Many thanks indeed.